Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 147 for April 14th, 2010. I will always love you. Net at Night is brought to you by GoToAssist Express. If you're in tech support, save time and money by supporting your clients and colleagues remotely with GoToAssist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToAssist.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I am Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hey, Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
Happy spring.
Yes, we've had just beautiful weather this spring. It's been amazing. And it feels almost not quite like summer, but it's just around the corner.
Well, also just around the corner, Twitter advertising. But we're going to talk about that and all the stories just a little bit. This is the show where we cover Web 2.0. And Amber is the queen of Web 2.0. Mm-hmm. Does a great show called CommandN.TV. Worked with me for years on Call for Help in Toronto. And as an old friend, and we've been doing Net at Night before that, Inside the Net, for, let's see, episode 147, looks like about 3 years.
Entering
our fourth year.
And we never run out of stuff, Leo.
No, it's been really great. This is the one show on the whole TWiT network where we actually talk to vendors, talk to companies. Yeah. Usually I don't want to put them on because it's just a big ad, but we talk to the people who are doing the most interesting stuff on the web, and I think that it's worth talking to them because they're creators, they're inventors, they're makers, and they're doing really neat stuff, I think.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think it's really fun because you try to get to some of them early, which is great, you know, when they're early on and their companies and they're
going
out raising money. Yeah,
you talked to a Jeff Chan before he sold YouTube to Google.
Steve Chan,
yep.
Yeah, and lots of other people as well. In the next few months, I think that we have Katarina Fake lined up to talk about Hunch.
Oh, wonderful.
We mentioned last week. And, of course, she's one of the co-founders of Flickr. So not exactly new to the internet
and
business.
A hero. I mean, a real hero, I think, in the Web 2.0 space.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm excited to have her on. And I'm working on getting someone from Yelp as well and a few other people. So
no guests today, though.
Never dull. No, Leo, it's just us. We just need our quality time now and again. Go through all these links that we never get to.
Just you and me, Amber.
You're stuck with me.
No. I actually said before we started we should do this at least once a month because it's just, you know, it's nice to have the guests, but sometimes it's nice just for us to talk about there's so many things going on the web. Well, Twitter putting ads up is huge. That's a huge story.
Yeah, you know, that story was pretty much everywhere over the past day. It's kind of dominated the headlines, and they are now going to have promoted tweets within search results. So if you go and you search something, there could be a tweet at the very top of that list from a company like Starbucks.
Well, let me search for Starbucks here on Twitter.
Yeah.
And there it is. There's the ad. And there's a reason for that. You know, earlier today when I saw the news, I searched for Starbucks, and the first five tweets were, I hate Starbucks, Starbucks shorted me, whatever. So now what they do is they make the very first result be a paid result, and it's actually a tweet from Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. Leo, I'm just going to turn off my phone.
Go ahead, turn off your
phone.
Hold
on one second.
It's interesting because there's 32 retweets of this absolute ad from Starbucks. Another day in the cupping room. Our coffee quality team tastes thousands of cups a year to ensure quality. There, you know, what they should be tweeting is an earlier Starbucks tweet that said, we're going to give you a free cup of coffee on tax day. I don't know why Starbucks didn't choose that. In fact, I'm looking for the tweet, the cupping tweet, and I don't know if that's even...
What tweet was that?
Well, the tweet I found in the results isn't a current tweet. In fact, I think it's not even a tweet at all. I think it's actually a written ad. But people have retweeted it, which I think is even funnier.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Now, it does say promoted by Starbucks. It's very clear that, you know, this is an ad. It's even You know, it was in a different color and stuff. I wonder what other companies, are there other companies that you know? And by the way, after that, you still get the search results for Starbucks. And I don't know how many people search for Starbucks, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering.
If I searched for Academy Awards, then I got a Starbucks ad. Or I searched for, I don't know, traffic. Let's search for Seattle traffic and see.
Yeah. I think
that's where I'd put a Starbucks ad, and no, there isn't
associated with that. I think they have a little bit of tweaking to do. I know they're working with some other companies like Virgin America and Red Bull, and they have sort of a small list of people that they've announced. So we'll see some more vendors come to the table.
Starbucks, does this bother you?
No, you know what? We have ads everywhere. And I just think of, if you remember on Net at Night, probably 6 months ago or so, I'd mentioned in Gmail how I had written an email about sneezing or something. And then all of a sudden they were advertising cold medication within my Gmail account.
I think,
you know, for the most part, we're pretty comfortable with ads. And this is really not very intrusive because, Leo,
it's search results. We're used to ads and search results, right?
Exactly. It's not like all of a sudden in my replies they're inserting,
get ready because that's next.
Yeah, it will happen.
They said they're going to do that. They're going to do in-stream ads as well, which will show up even on third-party applications.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a little different, and I'll be interested in how they do that. But, boy, what a good way for Twitter to at least dip a toe in the water of in-tweet advertising to put it in the search, because this is no different than what you get from Google or anybody else, and it's completely tolerable.
And Leo, they have to. I mean, they have to figure out a way to make money. The best thing is, if you go to blog.twitter.com right now, you have to read a post from Biz Stone, one of the co-founders of Twitter. And it's absolutely hilarious because he's kind of making fun of the company about how they haven't figured out a way to monetize. And this is one thing he says in the post. He says, "Believe me, when your name is Biz and you're a co-founder of Twitter, it also means putting yourself at the mercy of folks like Stephen Colbert who hit home runs with lines like these. So I assume that Biz and Biz Stone does not stand for business model." So, you know, they realize that it's time that they've kind of stepped it up and, like you said, sort of dipped their big toe into the whole online advertising world so that they're able to be here for the long haul.
They also say that you're going to only see, and this is why search advertising like Google does and now Twitter is so effective, you're only going to see stuff that you're interested in by its nature. You're searching for Starbucks. You don't mind a Starbucks ad.
Yeah.
Right? That's just part of the deal. Now it does. Yeah. Now he does say, you know, before we roll out phase two, we want to understand, you know, how you like this. But he says, once this is done, we plan to allow promoted tweets, that's what that Starbucks ad is, to be shown by Twitter clients and other ecosystem partners, and to expand beyond Twitter search, including displaying relevant promoted tweets in your timelines in a way that's useful. And that's where I'll be interested to see how tolerable that is.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. But, you know, I think right now, with the way that they're doing ads, you know, Twitter really hasn't been this sort of virgin community of people just sharing their thoughts for a very long time, probably since it was only an internal tool at Twitter.
Yeah. Since Ashton Kutcher showed up.
Yeah, as soon as they open it up, I mean, there are people, like, I use it to promote shows that I'm on, articles I've written. People are using it in ways to kind of sell themselves all the time as well as have conversations. So I don't think it's a really pure online destination for what are you doing now. I mean, it's evolved a lot from there.
Yeah, and I bemoan that. I kind of liked it when Twitter was a community of like-minded people talking about the news, having a conversation. And it is, I'm afraid, even I use it more for broadcast now than I use it for anything else. I use it to tell the world when a show begins or when I've earned Manna from Heaven Award in Godfinger.
I noticed that one, Leo.
You know, that was an error, and I've turned that off. People hate that. I hate that more than anything.
What is he doing with Godfinger?
There's this game called Godfinger. Do not start playing this game. It's an iPhone, iPad game that is the most addictive thing. And, you know, they have social in it. And like a lot of games, you can link it up with your Twitter account or your Facebook account. I did both. But I didn't realize it was just sending them out without me even... The tweets it sent out just automatically. So I turned that off immediately. But I prefer this kind of a tweet. The one before the Manna from Heaven Godfinger Award tweet. It was a really good blog post I read about how to build a career and a life. And I sent it to my daughter saying, you know, as you enter she's going to college next year. And I said, as you start your college career, you might want to read this and think about the difference between finding your life's work and loving your life. It's a really wonderful article. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm sending this to Abby. Yeah. Shouldn't I send this to my friends on Twitter? So I did. I tweeted it. And I think to me, that's where Twitter really gets value, right?
Yeah. I mean, definitely when you're able to share content like that, it's the most value of anything. Leo, just out of curiosity, where is Abby going to school? Because I don't think
We don't know yet.
You don't know yet.
And by the way, somebody yelled at me for sharing this information publicly. And Abby's already tweeted it. So it's not like I'm saying something out of school. She applied, I think, to 9 schools, got waitlisted on 2, admitted to 4, and refused by 3, including Brown and my alma mater, Yale. We were sad about that. I really wanted her to go to Yale. But she didn't have perfect grades. You know, these days you have to have 4.0 plus for 4 years to even approach these schools. But she got into some great schools, including the Claremont College's Scripps down in Claremont, California, Los Angeles. Occidental also in Los Angeles. University of Puget Sound in Washington State. And she's at Bard. She's visiting Bard. Yesterday she visited Scripps. Today she's visiting Bard, which is in Hudson River Valley in Upper New York State.
Wow.
So one of those 4.
Huh.
And I got an email. I've mentioned this before on the Gizwiz, but I'll mention it again. I got an email from the IT director at Scripps. He says, "I'm a fan, I love you. You know, just wanted you to know that if Abby does go to Scripps, we have gigabit to the pillow." I said, "What? Huh?" They have wired this college. I imagine this is very competitive now. That if you're going to go to a college, you ask about this. Each room has gigabit Ethernet in the room, and that's how you get your internet. Your internet connection is like you've got the Google fiber in there.
Yeah.
Wow. Gigabit.
Amazing.
Throughout the whole college. They call it gigabit to the pillow. So now see, I said, "Hey, that's great. Let me send this to Abby," and she said, "Yeah, well, whatever." Wasn't that big for her.
She wasn't as excited. I could see that, you know.
Big for me, though. Dad wants to go back to college.
Yeah. That's too funny. So, Leo, also with talking about Twitter news, I'm just going to mention this before we get into the Webby Awards as well as the Streamies. But I keep getting these emails talking about how if your fans on Twitter are stupider than other fans.
Oh, man.
I hate this thing. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Well, let's try it. Fight. Let's see who's got what is it called? Stupid Battle? Stupid Twitter?
It's tomscott.com/stupidfight. I know. So the stupid fight on Twitter. If someone sent me an email or a tweet and said, "Hey, Amber, your fans are dumber than Callie Lewis's fans." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then finally I click on those links.
I don't know if I trust this algorithm. All right, let's see. Okay, you're on Twitter. You're Amber Mac.
Mac, yeah.
And I'm Leo Laporte. Let's just see. Who do you think is stupider fans?
I've already done it, so I'll let you be surprised.
I'm sure. Yep. See, my fans are dumber. But we're very close.
Oh, are you serious? I thought I said that my fans were dumber.
No, you know what? My fans are pretty much dumber than everybody's fans. I don't know why. Who's really dumb? Ashton Kutcher. A+K. Do you think his fans are dumber than mine? Battle it out.
Let's see.
Oh, thank God. His fans are dumb as a bag of hammers.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Let's see. Oprah. Me and Oprah. Ooh. Who's? Oh, my fans are dumber than Oprah's fans.
Oh.
See, so this is how they judge. And they give you some samples. Now, this guy's British, okay? So, for instance, in this tweet, Leo Laporte is laughing so hard to call her. He had to put it on mute. LOL. LNS misspelled laughing. That's a typo. And used LOL. And you get that makes you stupid. If you use OMG LOL, that's stupid. If you use multiple exclamation marks, that makes you stupid. So if you read down here, he says, "I have several stupid indicators." Are they using 20 exclamation marks in a row? Do they endlessly use the abbreviation OMG? Do they seem incapable of working out where their shift key is? These indicators have a strong correlation with the message at sender being stupid. He's a linguist. He's a linguist, so I guess it must be true. I'm so hurt.
But I think with our fans, I mean, everybody is using LOL and you know, probably multiple exclamation marks. I mean, there's all these little tech terms as well. So
let's see, Stephen Fry. See, notice he spells honor with a U. Now that's wrong. Stephen Fry's fans much smarter. Dane, what's your Twitter handle?
Dane Golden.
I bet you Dane's fans are super smart.
I bet they are too.
I do.
Oh my God, Dane's fans are super smart.
Are they?
They are all the way to the left. They are 14. That's the smartest I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh.
14. I'm 425. So I guess it is accurate, Dane says.
Dane,
look at that.
Dane should be taking over.
Dane, you could rate yourself against anybody. Who's really smart? Stephen Hawking. I don't even know if he's on Twitter. Let's see if Dane's smarter than Stephen. Oh, wow. Stephen Hawking's a zero. That is the smartest I've ever seen.
Yeah. That's.
But it's close, Dane. It's close. Okay, who else is smart? I don't know. Who should I rate Dane against?
Oh, I'm trying to think of smart people on Twitter, and unfortunately,
this is TomScott.com/stupidfight we're playing with.
Yeah, it should be a list of the smartest people.
How about Molly Wood? She's pretty smart.
That's good.
That's pretty good. Let's see who's smarter. Oh my God, Dane, you're like twice as smart as Molly Wood. How about Molly Wood versus Tom Merritt? That might be interesting. I bet they've done this. Molly's dumber than Dane. I mean, than Tom. Okay, I can't stop playing this. Would you please move on to the next
subject? Yeah, let's move on. Okay, so I know.
You know how we both know about this? Because I don't know about you, but I got like a million people telling me, your fans are dumber than mine.
Yes, I got quite a few of those messages. So it was pretty entertaining for about 5 minutes. And then we can move on.
I'm going to say this right now. My fans are brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Agreed. Yeah. So it's just a fun little tool. Okay. So, Leo, every year we talk about the Webby Awards because this has been going on now for,
I got to do one more.
Year. Are you doing another one?
One more.
I have created a monster.
Leo. One more. Lonely Button. Is it lonely or lovely? That? Lovely Button. And Lisa Tickled Pink.
Who are these people?
You don't know them?
No.
So Lovely Button was the one woman that Conan O'Brien followed and got her up to 30,000 followers, right? And then we said, Kevin Rose and I said, we'll do the same thing. And Lisa Tickled Pink, we got her up. We actually beat Lovely Button. Now let's see who's got the smarter fans. Yes! Lovely Button's got morons following her.
Oh, nice. That is hilarious. I didn't realize you guys did that. That's too funny.
Yeah, we gave her an iPad. She lives in New Zealand. She got an iPad. Actually, has hers come yet? We also gave a random follower an iPad. I know he got his.
That's pretty sweet.
It was kind of fun. He's like a Disney animator.
Huh.
I mean, a former Disney. He's actually fairly well known. And Floyd Norman.
Okay.
And he was really, we should get him on and talk to him. I guess he did this because, you know, he followed Lisa and because he really wanted to win. He wanted an iPad. So I'm really thrilled that he got one.
Huh. Pretty sweet prize for following someone.
Yeah. Well, there were 30,000 people. I mean, you got at long odds of winning.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Enough stupid fight.
Okay, no more stupid fights. So the Webby Awards, this could be its own type of stupid fight, but it's the fourth annual Webby Awards, and we talk about it every year.
And it gets worse and worse every year.
It does. The only thing that there's a couple of different sites that have been nominated, which I think is good. Mashable, which we love, has been nominated in three categories.
Deserves to win. Absolutely.
Yeah. A best business blog, best cultural blog, and best copywriting. I don't know about that one, but the other two seem pretty legit. And then there are a few other nominees like the Cheeseburger Network. And considering we just had Ben on last week,
he deserves
that's
to win.
Warranted.
You know who got the most nominations?
Who's that?
The New York Times.
Oh,
15 nominations. The Onion, 6. NPR, 5. Cheeseburger, 4. 15. See, I think that this was my problem, has been my problem for the last couple of years. It feels very establishment, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, though. It's kind of moved, you know. Even if you look at their website, although I know it hasn't changed a lot, but it feels corporate and icky almost to me now.
I do. The one thing I love about the Webbies, which are going to be awarded June 14th in New York City, is that you are only allowed 5 words.
That's the best thing they ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I think is kind of fun, and I probably mentioned this last year, is I like to go through the list and find people, find sites with like the best navigation, best practices. So there's so many different categories. It's kind of fun if you want to get some ideas for your own website to get a sense of some of the sites that are on the list that you may never have visited before. So there are some like best community or nonprofit sites. That kind of stuff is a little bit more interesting, I think, than the major, because some of the bigger categories.
And there is the People's Voice Award. Awards, which gives you a chance, us a chance, we a chance to vote the best of the web.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of this. First of all, don't you have to like pay a little money and get involved in this? I think you do to be nominated or something.
You have to pay to be nominated. Yeah. I know that because
that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, and I don't want to say the nomination process is complicated, but you know, you have to sort of do your nomination form, send in money. So it's a little more effort than just putting yourself out there to possibly get on the list. So
you shouldn't ever have to pay to be nominated. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you do.
And that eliminates most of the cool, interesting, small people and totally promotes the big businesses because they can afford it. They have, you know, many staff members who can do the work of applying. They can do that, you know?
Yeah, you got to hand it over to someone. So, Leo, okay, let's move on because the Streamies. I actually didn't watch anything from the Streamies. Did you watch them?
I didn't either. Now, we were nominated. People are going to think this is sour grapes because we didn't win, but it isn't. And I've been saying this for a while about the Streamies. So this is another example of you got to pay to play. So the Streamies, which are theoretically, they're, by the way, misnamed. They are not the Streaming Video Awards. They're just the Web Video Awards. Right. In fact, there was only one streaming video category. We were nominated at Best Produced Live Video. We were nominated. Kevin Pollak's show won it, deservedly so. Great, great show. Kevin does a great job. So in order to the nomination just happened. We didn't do anything and we just got it, which was fantastic. But then we were told, OK, there are something like 1,500 voters. I don't know who these 1,500 are. You cannot contact them directly. You cannot send them a DVD directly. You can't send them a link to your video directly. You have to pay the Streamies to make a DVD, which is distributed to them, and you determine how many of the judges get them. But they note the more judges that get them, the more likely you will win. And what is it? It's a few bucks per DVD, but there's 1,500. It's $6 a DVD. And there's 1,500 judges. Do the math. That's $9,000.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't remember exactly. It was thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, it wasn't even not paying the money for me. It was like I was offended that that was the only way you could participate. So at that point, as honored as we were to be nominated, I don't have no idea how the process worked. I thought, I don't really want to have anything to do with this. So we didn't campaign. We did not send them any money. We didn't have a chance of winning because the judges never even saw our entry. And presumably, Jason funded Kevin Pollak to get it out to everybody because it's a valid thing.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's great. There's some really good series. Like obviously, The Guild is a great series, and I'm sure like Felicia Day, she won an award as
she deserves to win.
She does
absolutely.
And, best web series host was Zadie Diaz. The only thing I would say is when you look throughout the list and be living outside of California, if you look at the people
who actually Hollywood specific, wasn't
it? Very Hollywood specific. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting because most people on the list have some affiliation with Hollywood, sort of LA area. And just knowing some of the people on the list as well, it's sort of a little bit of inside baseball. And again, I'm outside of that world, so it's easy for me to say that. But it's not like there are so many great web series that just would never have a chance here. And, you know, maybe that's okay, but it does feel like its own little world in some ways. You know,
that's really my problem. Besides the fact that you have to pay to play is that this is, again, just like the Webbies, it's mainstream saying we want to co-opt this web thing. Hey, kid, you're a little guy. Don't worry. We'll take it from here. You got a nice job starting up the whole web thing, but we'll take it from here. You know, no problem, you know. To me, the whole reason that we do what we do, that all these great websites are out there is because we want to take it back. It's grassroots. We don't want mainstream media to run these things. And I think these awards shows, first of all, I don't know if we need awards in a nascent industry like this anyway. The idea of competing against Zadie Diaz, to me, is like, I don't want to compete against anybody. We're all colleagues. But it's fine. Winning awards nice. It's good publicity and so forth. So, I can understand the motivation. But I just, there's something that feels wrong to me. Now, that I've said and was said before the award show. Then the award show happened. And everybody was, I didn't see it. But Justine, who was nominated, our good friend, Justine, she issued a public apology on her blog. As much as it pains me even to write about this show, she says, and she was there, and she was so excited to be nominated, and she rode the bus, the vlogger bus, and she was tweeting about it. And, you know, I love Justine. I think that, you know, I was supporting her for that. As much as it pains me even to write about this show I attended last night, I feel I need to, because I owe all of you who watched, because I told you to, an apology. I left this event feeling confused and embarrassed and a bunch of other emotions I've yet to put my finger
on. Wow, I didn't see this.
She says, as a web content creator, this show last year was a huge step in the right direction for web video producers, and now, sadly, back to step one. She said, if you didn't watch a show and have no idea what I'm talking about, that's probably for the better.
Now I want to watch it. That would be the only thing that made me watch it.
She praised the host, Paul Scheer, but she said there were unending, not funny skits. Lots of unnecessary vulgarity and sexual references. She says, I cringe knowing young kids, my mom and my grandmother were at home watching this trash. I have no problem with a few vulgar jokes, but they took it way too far. There were some significant technical difficulties. There was two streakers.
Oh my goodness.
There was a point in the show, I was like, is this really happening? I can't even imagine how the brands and sponsors felt being a part of this event. This is one of the biggest hurdles in online video, is getting brands to trust the content they're advertising against. Now they can't even trust a show about online video. So,
on to our next award.
Please welcome Chris Hardwick from Back on Tops and Lisa Nova from YouTube's The Station.
I have to say, it's a big looking show. I mean, this looks like the Oscars. It's a big stage. It's well lit. This is from Justine's blog here.
Okay.
I don't know Chris Hardwick. Do you know Chris Hardwick?
No.
Lisa Nova, I know her name. Oh, no.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
Now, some guy's running up and kissing Lisa Nova. Oh, and then somebody's feeling Chris Hardwick up. That's disgusting. That's ridiculous.
This is not part of any bit we planned. I'm not around right now.
And I made out with Lisa Nova,
and I got a finger in my
Okay, I'm going to bleep some of this.
I love Lisa Nova.
Oh, my golly. That's pretty awful.
Wow.
That's Ron and Shay, and I don't know what these guys, I don't know if they're part of it or what.
I'm really glad. You know what, Leo? I have so much respect for Justine, and it's great that she actually wrote that, you know, and commented on it. It seems like it was a bit of a gong show, but she's one person that I've always thought it's amazing what she does. And she's kind of a one woman show in a lot of ways, you know, doing her own editing and pretty soon.
She's the real deal.
She is. Yeah. Yeah. And she deserves.
I mean, these other people are mainstream people trying to masquerade as hip web people. And, you know, the web is inclusive. That means everybody, even Hollywood, is allowed. However, I don't think they should own the awards.
Well, yeah, and it's not good if they let the show kind of turn into a bit of a gong show. I'm going to watch it, though, just for fun.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Wow! And I apologize to those of you watching live. I had no idea that was going to happen, so I will bloop that. And you just got a little trashed on by the streamies.
It's just like you almost get embarrassed. It's funny. I was watching a major news network here in Canada, and they have a couple of young MCs who came and did an appearance on the network, and they were trying to be funny and doing all these random skits, and it was so stupid. I was embarrassed for young people across the country. I mean, sometimes people just take the stuff too far. The sort of MTV-esque type of humor that
I think that's what this was.
I guess sometimes, but it's just awful to watch. It's painful to watch.
This seems to me that this was kind of what this was.
Yeah, it feels like that a little bit.
We every week we do our own version. We highlight what we think is interesting and exciting, and companies that are doing neat things. To me, that's the better way to go. It's not you are better than this. You win, they lose. It's some great stuff is being done out there, and I'm just very excited about it. And you know, I love the Kevin Pollak chat show. I think it's a great show. So I'm not in any way unhappy that they won. That's wonderful. I'm glad that we didn't participate in that, as it turns out.
No kidding. Well, I think especially to Justine's point, especially when young people are watching, and I feel like that's the most important point out of all of this. You try to encourage young people to go out and produce their own content, and then you obviously see people on stage looking like idiots and swearing. It's kind of
sad.
It's discouraging. But Leo, this is kind of a neat thing that I want to talk about.
Can you hold on to it?
Yes.
For 1 second?
I can.
Because I got a neat thing I want to talk about too.
Okay,
we will be back. More of Amber MacArthur and Ned at Night in just a little bit. I do want to mention our friends at Citrix, who sponsor the show, make it possible. Without you, we operated at a loss. and let me tell you, all this stuff costs a lot of money. So thank you to the sponsors who make these shows possible. And Citrix has been, is our biggest sponsor. They've been very supportive for the last couple of years. They do some great products. We're proud to support them right back, like GoToMeeting and GoToMyPC. Citrix is a well-known name in enterprise for remote access. And if you're in the IT and support business, there's a name you ought to know. It's Citrix GoToAssist. Go to GoToAssist.com and take a look at this. I started using GoToAssist many years ago when we were on the screensavers. We used it actually during the show to help people with their computer problems. It was very cool then. It's gotten better and better and faster and faster. And now it is kind of a must-have for anybody who's in the support or IT business. Even if you're just supporting your family and friends, this would be a very handy tool to have. Now, there's a monthly subscription, but you can also do a day pass. So you can get all of the problems together and take a Saturday and buy a GoToAssist day pass and fix everybody's computers all at once. Here, let me tell you some of the things you get with GoToAssist. Of course, that great remote access, which allows you to fix and work on Macs and PCs from Macs or PCs. So it's very cross-platform. You can run up to 8 sessions at once. So, you start an install on one machine, you can start a scan on another, and you can move on to the third, up to 8 at once. They can be unattended. They don't have to be, but they can be. It's really easy. Your client or your family member doesn't have to have it installed ahead of time at all. I did it with my mom. We were actually Skyping, and she said, I'm having trouble with my Intuit, my Quicken. I can't figure out where the data is. I said, well, no problem, Mom. And I gave her the GoToAssist link. She clicks it. Literally a minute later, I'm in her computer fixing the problem, and she loved it. You can chat back and forth while it's going on. You can see what software is running, what operating system version, what security software, anything running in the background. You can copy files from your computer to the client's computer. I mean, I just go on and on. This is designed for the support professional. It is a tool that makes your life easier, makes you a support hero. Your clients will love it, and you will love it. And try it free right now for 30 days. That's enough time to fix every computer, all your family members or all your clients. GoToAssist.com/night. If you're in this business, you've got to have it. GoToAssist.com/night. Really, really handy. And we thank them again. We really appreciate all the support Citrix has given us over the years.
I think it's especially important for all people who give tech support, like you said, to their parents.
Oh, man.
It's invaluable because we've all done
it. Oh, yeah.
Saves relationships, I'm sure.
Because, I hate it. I feel bad, but I always end up yelling. No, yeah. Mom, no, don't do that. No, the system preference pain. Mom, I love you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't yell at you.
Yeah.
And bring your laptop out. She's coming in a couple of weeks for Abby's high school graduation. Bring your laptop out.
I'll nice.
Let's see. Okay, you started something. What were you?
Yeah. Thinking? So a lot of people ask me all the time when I'm speaking at events. They ask me how do I keep my kids safe on Facebook? And so I try to give them the best advice I can. But it was interesting. Just recently, Facebook actually launched a help center, which is great to see them do this. And they talk about general safety on the site. They also have safety tips for parents, so you can get information about how to use Facebook, what to do if you see content that you don't think is appropriate, what to do if your teen is being cyberbullied. And I feel like these are all issues that are so important. I mean, I go to all these business events where it's really about using social media to promote your company, but the reality is the questions I get are from parents who are worried
about their kids. Exactly. Jennifer and I the whole family did a session at the high school on this. I mean, this really is huge.
Yeah, so it's nice.
It tends to be Facebook focused is the only negative on this. I mean, it's
That's the only negative. I will say though, it's good to see them actually realize that they've needed this for a long time, and to come to the table and at least put up some information, because I think parents are kind of embarrassed to ask about this because they don't want to seem naive that they don't understand the online space, but most of them really don't, and they don't want to ask their kids, and so at least this is a starting point. Maybe not the best destination, but it is a place for them to get some information.
Yeah. By the way, they also have a Facebook. That's facebook.com/safety.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have facebook.com/security. I think this predates the safety center. That's part of their new safety advisory board. But the security is good because it's a good place to check it out because they talk about issues going on right now. Like there's a fake Zynga toolbar.
Yeah.
You know. And so if you want to know what these are good tips, valuable stuff. Again, Facebook specific.
Yeah.
Although some of it is useful outside of Facebook. Facebook is now simply, easily, without doubt, the largest internet community.
It's huge.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, in the safety section, another thing they have is for educators. And I've spoken to a lot of educators, and this is one of the places that they want to understand, how do I use Facebook in the classroom? What's neat in the educator section is they had a lot of information about keeping a professional presence on the site versus a personal profile and those types of things. Like, how can I have my name as a teacher on there, but not let my students maybe find my personal information and that type of thing, which becomes a very important thing for an educator. And it's not just like they have just a few questions. There are literally a couple of dozen in each section in the safety center on Facebook.
Now, I do hope that they'll back it up with actual, you know, action. For instance, you know, if there's abuse, report it. Okay, but you're going to do something about it too.
Yeah.
You know, safe Facebook. So, it's nice to do this. There's lots of great information here. It also is incumbent on the new safety advisory board to make sure that Facebook actually acts on this information as well.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those PR things that, could just be to look good. I want to see it's what they do that makes a difference.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Leo, I have Foursquare. I don't use it all the time. I know you use it more.
I just read a really interesting a blog post from Dave McClure, 500 Hats. I'm talking about all these location-based services. It was a really hysterical post. I should find it. Because basically he says, okay, we geeks, we're going to do this kind of crap. No normal person's going to check in when they arrive somewhere, right? It doesn't make sense. He says, check-ins are coupons. Game mechanics are BS. Show me the money or go home, loser. He's saying, I'll check in when you give me a $5 coffee for free.
Yeah.
He says normal people are never, and I have to say, I use Facebook. I mean, Foursquare. I use Gowalla. There's a new service from Brightkite called Check.in that lets me check in on all three, Brightkite, Facebook, and Gowalla. I use that now. But I'm an idiot. No normal person's going to do this. So here's his summation, which, by the way, I thought was this is the best part. He says, here's what's going to happen. He says, Facebook wins. He says, Facebook wins location-based services. Google, Apple remain strong in search and media, respectively. PayPal gets bought, likely by Microsoft. Amazon stays strong in commerce and infrastructure. AOL stays afloat in content and advertising, maybe. Microsoft dies in mobile and consumer very slowly, acquires lots of stuff along the way. Yahoo dies slowly and or likely gets bought or merged with a new AOL. eBay dies quickly. Nobody notices. Twitter gets bought by Google or Microsoft or maybe Cisco within 3 years. So it's done. Let's see if his roadmap is accurate. What do you think? I mean, that sounds pretty accurate to me.
Yeah, it sounds pretty accurate.
So he's dissing what made me think of this is you're pretty connected. You don't use this.
Yeah, but I think my reason too for not using Foursquare and other services is just privacy. As a woman, I don't want people to know that I've just gone down to my local coffee shop and I'm there right now. And
only an exhibitionist like me wants people to know that. No one else, no one normal wants that. So
yeah,
I went to, so this, if somebody's interested, this is check.in. You have to apply for a beta key, and they just sent me an invitation. Now, even on the iPad, which doesn't have GPS, it's figuring out where I am. It gives me a list of places. I say, oh, yeah, I'm at Twit. And then it matches on Gowalla, Foursquare, and Brightkite. Because each of them has their own location system. So see, all of these are on the three. And then I check in, and now I've checked in on all three. Check.in. You can't add a comment or anything. It's just a check-in. But at least
that's
it does
neat.
It. Yeah,
it makes it easy.
Still, you're still not going to use it.
No.
No.
I'm not going to. But, you know, I know people who are diehard users. So this next story is about a 15-year-old who was the first person to check in on Foursquare at the North Pole.
Oh, he's mayor of the North Pole, is he?
Mayor. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, Leo. If you're going to check in somewhere, that's the place to check in.
I just got some sort of Foursquare badge for the most mayorships or something. Like when you get 10, not the most of anybody, but when you get 10 mayorships, you get to be like the mayorist or something. I don't know what it is. And I tweeted it.
Leo, I just tune into Twit sometimes and I just see you there playing with all these tools.
I know. It's stupid. Hey, this is kind of cool, though. There's actually a Foursquare badge. It's called the Last Degree.
Yep.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think this was an expedition that was organized with this kid with some people behind it who helped get it together, but it was just trying to promote young people doing sort of extraordinary things. And it looks from the article that I read on Mashable, it looks like that Foursquare was actually behind helping to promote this and make sure they had the technology to make it happen.
That's
and,
neat. Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, I don't know how you would check in. North
yeah,
Pole.
I guess they used a smartphone tethered to a satellite phone at the base or something like that. But they had sort of documented how they did it. I think it was in the comments area. I read through it. But anyway, kind of interesting.
The first North Pole check-in.
See, I would check in at the North Pole, Leo, because no one's going to find me there, right?
Right. You're safe there.
You're safe there. It's all these other little locations that I just don't feel like checking. I mean, I think Twitter is kind of enough in terms of sharing. And Foursquare, it's just so focused on location. I'm just...
I'm going to follow Parker L. on Foursquare. See, he's kind of a newbie on Foursquare. He's only got one night out and one check-in.
Yeah. He is a newbie.
Hey, man, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Oh, well, that's funny. That's really cute. I don't know. What do you think is the future of these location-based services? Is there?
Well, I think there is definitely a future for them, but I kind of agree with the post that you read in the sense that give me more incentive to check in somewhere. If I'm going to be checking in and promoting your brand, well, I want something back. And so all of a sudden, if my local coffee shop says, hey, if you check in here, you're going to get a buck off your latte every day.
Right.
Hey, I'll check in privacy.
Privacy,
you know?
Be damned, sure. Well, what you do is you check in after the fact.
Exactly, after the fact.
As you're leaving, you say, I was here.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where it becomes interesting.
I used to be here.
Yeah.
Try to catch up with me.
Yeah, they kind of step up and offer those types of incentives. Then I think there's a real future for those services. It just, I think we're just early in the days of location-based technology.
I'm going to put this in our show notes. Dave McClure's response to location-based services. Yeah, because I thought that was really good. It was this past weekend. And, you know, we know a few people who are investing in these.
Yeah.
Who shall remain nameless. And I can see this is what happens is you get sucked in. Because you're doing it and everybody you know is doing it. And it's easy to forget that normal people, maybe I'm that way with the iPad, that normal people, or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe the reason geeks don't like the iPad is because it's too normal. It's for non-geeks.
The iPad, I think, has really drifted over into the general market. Because I know so many people who are just interested in possibly having one who I would not call geeks at all.
Yeah.
I think you're right on that. But location-based services, most people I know who use them are... sort of in the geek arena.
Super geeky.
Okay, speaking of super geeky, we just have a couple of links left. One I wanted to mention was this article that I found on TechCrunch about a conference called The Next Web. They have it every single year in Amsterdam. And they invite 25 startups to pitch to a live audience of over 1,000 people. And they review a couple hundred different submissions and they find the best startups as far as people who will potentially be making a difference on the web with their tools over the next year. Anyway, I was looking at the list and I've never heard of any of these. They're really new, kind of in their infancy as far as, I think most of them are just ideas right now, as far as I understand, but I should poke around because there are links, but, some of them are actually live sites right now.
Huh.
So I was wondering if you'd heard any of
them. Okay, let me go through them. Tribe of Noise, a worldwide community connecting musicians and companies. Inbox 2, one stream for all your accounts. You know, I'm always interested in that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fashionista, discover, shop, and share your style. See, that's Amber's, right?
Yeah, me and my hoodies.
Mail Suite, we don't know what it is, but it's going to have something to do with mail. Pipio, I do know. Have you seen Pipio?
No.
PIP.io. I know that because our friend Robert Scobel did an interview with him a little while ago, and they call it a kind of web OS. So it's a little bit like, say, NetVibes, which we liked a lot, and as a ProtoPage and PageFlakes, where it's very widget-focused. I should log in to my Pipio account. If I can remember the login, I will, and I can show you. My laptop got stolen a couple of days ago. Not a fancy one, a netbook, but I realized after it got stolen that I had all my passwords on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So here's Pipio. Here's my account. So you can see it's got location on it. You can. It's got various channels that you can add, RSS channels and so forth. It has applications for Twitter, Facebook, and an RSS reader. And their idea is to have more apps eventually that people could write, third-party people could write or install. Here's a stream, but it's not just a Twitter stream. It might be a combination of a bunch of other things. I like how they're positioning it. It's not there yet, but I like how they're positioning it where it's a OS for the web, browser-based, HTML5-based. I think it's kind of interesting.
Huh.
A lot of people want to be my friend on it. I'm going to add them all. Just another site. So let's see. Let's go down. That's one. Let me see some of these other sites here.
There's quite a few. I'm looking at, actually right now I'm just on Twitter Counter.
Distimo, which is App Store Analytics. That's Twitter Counter. Yeah. Yeah, I know that one. That's pretty cool.
Public stats provider.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for some of the more interesting ones.
I think Twitter Counter might be a good one eventually. Although you've seen the whole issue of Twitter creating its own clients on BlackBerry and buying Tweety for the Mac and presumably for the iPhone, and the response from developers. Well, Fred Wilson, who's an early Twitter investor, even said, "Guys, I wouldn't build a business based on Twitter."
Yeah.
And boom.
I'm sick of all of these different Twitter services that are trying to figure out how influential you are and, you know, how many people listen to what you have to say. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm just sick of that. There's too many
but
of them.
But you jumped right there to Twitter Counter, though, right? Didn't you? Because you kind of got it immediately.
I do. I get it immediately. But I have to say I'm more interested in like Hootsuite, where I can monitor my traffic and what I'm sending out on Twitter. But as far as like calculating influence and coming up with, you know, I don't know. Well, there's so many different services out there that will do that right now. And I've been asked by different companies as far as to submit how influential you are. And I feel like sometimes we take Twitter to be a little too important.
Yes.
And it gets to be a little bit tiring after a while.
Are you going to go to the next web in Amsterdam? It's a good excuse to go to Amsterdam.
I've been to Amsterdam, and I think I should stay away.
I don't even want to know.
It was many years ago, and it was a very short trip.
Yes.
Yes.
what you remember of it?
Yeah, it was very short. All I remember is there were crazy things happening everywhere. It was like the most surreal city. I'm sure you've been there, Leo.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No. Oh. No. It's very interesting.
Let's move on.
So here's a site of the night from YouTube and Google.
Okay, Leo, I have to say, my friend David Dodell actually sent me a link to this, and I haven't had a chance to really explore it because when I went there right away, I couldn't figure out exactly how to use it, but it seemed kind of interesting, so I threw it on the list.
I've been here because I think it's really cool. Now, you may not have watched the Super Bowl since you're Canadian.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you're Canadian, so you probably didn't know that there's this thing called football that we play here in the U.S. It's very popular, yes. And one of the most exciting things about the Super Bowl, which is the big game, think of it as the Grey Cup for Americans.
Of course, yeah.
That's obscure. Only if you're not a Canadian. If you're Canadian, you know, then that's the accurate example. But the thing about the game is everybody watches it because of the commercials. And Google had a commercial. You saw it. The impressive French girl commercial.
I did not see that.
Oh, wait a minute. I just have to play a little bit of this for you. It's such a beautiful
impressive
commercial.
French girl commercial?
Yeah, you haven't seen that? Let me show you. So this, I mean, Google spent a lot of money on this. And it's very romantic. This is the Super Bowl ad. It's just Google searches. So he's gone to France, and he's translating, "You are very cute." And then he Googles impress a French girl, how to impress a French woman. Chocolate shops, Paris, finds one. What are truffles? Finds the definition. Who is Truffaut? Finds the definition. Long distance relationship advice. Jobs in Paris. Finally, he's searching for American Airlines 120 to Paris, then churches in Paris. I'm starting to get chills just reading, watching it again. How to assemble a crib. Isn't that cute? No, it's very romantic. So it was a wonderful ad. That was the original Google ad.
Oh, I never saw that. That's really cool.
So they're now saying create your own search stories. Same idea where you show a Google search, and it's very easy to do because you just enter your search. Let's see, we can do one right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's think of a story. So enter your search terms. Laid off from TV show. Where is Toronto? Who is Amber MacArthur?
Oh my God,
I don't know where I go from here. Where is Amsterdam? Drug rehabilitation programs. And let's see, flights to San Francisco. And then you can add music. And you can choose, by the way, whether each of these is a web search, an image search, a map, blog search, product search, etc. And it'll show you what the results are going to be. So I'm basically using a form to create this TV commercial. All right, let's go to next. Okay. Oh, maybe do you have to finish? Oh, no, I guess not. Now, click to preview different soundtracks. Should we have action, comedy? Yeah, let's do comedy. Okay. There we go. Okay, it's going to take a few moments. It says you probably have enough time to grab a cup of coffee or go to the bathroom, but not both. Oh, recipe for cupcakes. I should have put that in.
Oh, my God. That's just hilarious.
So I didn't make a very good one, but you could see how fun this would be. And this actually creates, I guess, we'll see. Let's see, another one of those Google-style search ads. And here we go. It says, take a look at your video. Decide if it's ready for its big debut. Play.
So it's basically, yeah, I mean,
it's just doing the same thing.
Right?
Yeah, it's doing the same thing, and you could title it and so forth. Anyway, I don't know what's taking so long, but you can edit the story now or change the music. You could title it. You can say what genre it is, and then you upload it. It's already on YouTube, but you put it on YouTube, and then you can watch other people's search stories. So there's a few of them up here. You want to pick one?
Let's see. So, what
fight against potholes? Let's watch that one.
Sure.
Okay. Car axle repair. Reporting potholes. Letter of complaint. Letter to the editor. This is great. Starting a petition. Public speaking tips. Running for local office. That's great. Wasn't that cute? No, that was good.
That is very cool. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah. So there you go. There you get the idea.
See, I guess without having the context of the...
You didn't know about the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, then it didn't... It was escaping me as far as what it was all about. Okay, Leo, so finally for our video of the week, we have... Is this the new Susan Boyle? Have you seen this kid?
Oh, no. Not Justin Bieber. Huh? Don't say Justin Bieber. I'm going to be upset.
Oh, my God. Don't worry. I will not say
This is Lin Yuchun.
Yes, from Taiwan.
He does kind of look like Susan Boyle, so maybe that's one of the...
You say that. But if you scroll down a
little
bit on
the video?
Page, you can play the video.
Okay.
And he is sort of the next big singing hit on YouTube.
And this is a Chinese kind of American Idol type show.
Yeah.
And he's going to sing... By the way, Susan Boyle's I Dreamed a Dream video... 90 million views.
No.
Yes. Now here we go. Lin Yun Chun singing Whitney Houston. Great haircut. How do I get a haircut like that?
So I'll go. We can arrange that.
But I know I'll think of you every step of the way.
Amber MacArthur, we're just going to leave people with this touching moment.
It gets good now, yeah. Thank you, Leo.
We'll see you next week on Net at Night. Sounds just like her.